Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Well, it's good to be here, and it's nice. I see there is time there. You see, it's wonderful to be back here and see the new developments. I'm an African, so in Africa we have watches, which we bought from Great Britain. We don't have actually clocks and watches there, so we buy them from Great Britain. But we have the time. I am always excited when I come to Labatt. Labatt for me is our church here in Great Britain. And I am always thrilled when I come back here because I feel I'm coming back home. If I am asked by anyone to give a reference, a spiritual reference, I would immediately ask Michael, would you do a reference for me? And if Michael is outside of the country, I'd ask Stephen. Say, Stephen, would you send a reference? And I know they would do it for me because I belong here. You may not see me all the time, but honestly, I belong in Labatt. I pray for this church almost every day because I love it here. So when I am coming here on the train, in my heart I am excited, I'm coming home. I don't know about you, but honestly my heart is here. So today I really want to share something from the Lord with you. This is the beginning of the year. And in the beginning of the year, we all make sort of, you know, how do you call them? You call them resolutions. But these resolutions that we make, they are for ourselves here on earth. But this year, I want to challenge you to make a resolution for heaven. Make a resolution for heaven. This year, when we were beginning this year in the northeast of England, I woke up very early in the morning on the 1st of this January, and I asked the Lord for different things. And the Lord started to challenge me. I was asked by Michael to come here long time ago. You see, Michael is not like me. When I was working with him, he taught me a lot of things. As an African, I do things as they come by. But for him, he plans ahead of time. And I used to tell him, you know, I don't know whether I will get there. You know, but he's a good administrator. So some of the things have rubbed on me. So as I was praying, the Lord started to challenge me about things. And one of the things that challenged me actually was the title of what I'm going to share with you. Because as I was asking a lot of things from the Lord started to ask me of one thing. And so this morning, I want to begin by asking you one of those questions that the Lord asked me. And the question I want to ask each one of us here today is a very personal question. And the question is this: in whose hands is your life? In whose hands is your life? Because the most important thing in life is your life. So in whose hands is your life? Is it one, in your own hands, or two, in the hands of the devil, or three, in the hands of God? Now in Romans 8 verse 5 to 6, Paul says this: for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, as we all know, we live in the first world. Now, originally, I come from the third world, not even the second, the third. Here, this is the first world. In almost every home, there is a television. And whoever holds the remote control has control over what is watched. And likewise, in life, we have a spiritual remote. Now, the question I want to pose to each one of you here today is this. Who has your remote? Who has your remote? Who has control over your life? Into whose hands have you entrusted your life? Because you see, friends, you cannot entrust your life to yourself. And there are reasons for that. You cannot entrust your life to yourself. No matter how knowledgeable you are or think you are, our knowledge as human beings is limited. We don't know what will happen in the future. Because you and I only know what is going on now. In Psalm 103 and verse 15 to 16, the psalmist says this: human life is like grass. We grow like a flower in the field. After the wind blows, the flower is gone, and there is no sign of where it was. And so the big question we all need to ask ourselves is the one I started with, which is, into whose hands have you entrusted your life? Is it in your own hands? In the hands of the devil, which we don't like even to hear that word? Or in the hands of God? Because in John 10 and verse 10, Jesus says this: a thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Do we know this Jesus that has come to give us this life and in abundance? One of the things that makes me so excited, one of the things that made me to come to this country and adopt it and make it part of me, make it part of my country. When I came here and chose to become a British citizen, and it's so funny, coming from the part of Africa that I come from, I tell the people that I work with in the northeast of England, and actually the year that I came and became a British citizen, it wasn't the nicest year. It was 2017. And when I came, the snow that was there, it wasn't a nice welcome coming from Mombasa, where it was so hot and humid. And when I came into the northeast of England that year, there was snow everywhere. The car that I was given, it was like, you know, like inside the freezer. I was looking through the window and it was all white everywhere. I took pictures and put it on my Facebook and sent it to all my cousins, and all the people knew me, even in the prison where I used to work, the maximum prison. Everybody wrote back to me and said, "Are you freezing to death?" And I said, "It's the white carpet. Heaven has opened and put the white carpet up to the church where I'm pastoring." It was completely unbelievable. And I asked myself one day as I came out of my house, I said, "Lord, what have I got myself into? Why do we do these things?" It's because of what Jesus has done in us that we can do all these things. Do you know this Jesus? Because when he comes, he gives you life. And that life then propels you to want to impact others. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And when he touches you, you become completely bananas for him. You begin to do things that you would never have done before. Some people say they love Jesus, but then it's like the fire has died. Has your fire died? Are you still as excited for Jesus as you were before? Some of us, we loved Jesus when we became Christians, but now we've been caught up by the things of this world and we are no longer excited about Jesus. The things of this world have taken his part. And the Bible tells us that he's jealous. He's a jealous God. Our material things, have they taken over you? I am an African. I love nice things. Some people think when you are an African, oh, you don't know about nice things. No, I don't come from the bush. I come from a very nice city. And God blessed me with nice things. You know, I didn't live in a cave before I came to UK. You know, God blessed us with a very nice house. And we lived among people with dosh. You know, God has a sense of humor. You know, he blessed us with a very fantastic home. You know, when we sat on our living room, we looked at a nice, lovely swimming pool. And he brought us into UK where we sit in our house and we watch a car park. And we still love him. And I was telling people, I went back to Kenya and I wasn't as happy as I am watching this car park in the northeast of England. And I came back, I put on this full of jackets everywhere. I look like an Eskimo. And I go back, I dress like this. I dress with nice, colorful t-shirts, which I like. I like colorful clothes. And when I come back here, I have to put, you know, bomber jackets as if I am, you know, in Iceland. But this is where God wants me for this such a time as this. And if I go back, I don't have the peace of God. Am I communicating to someone here today? When Jesus touches you, he changes you. And when you are where God wants you to be, you get fulfilled. It's not what we want, it's what he wants. What does God want for you? Have you given him control over your life? That's the point I want to communicate with you. Paul said, I give him control of everything. After he assessed all this, he said, all I want in Philippians 3, verse 10 to 12. He said, all I want is to know Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his suffering and become like him in his death, in the hope that I myself will be raised from death to life. I do not claim to that I have already succeeded or have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has already won me to himself. Now in Philippians, Paul writes about how to succeed in life. And there are a lot of books today on success. And everyone thinks they have the key to making life become fulfilling. And they think they have solutions to all the problems of life. The ironic thing is that many of those books on success are written by unsuccessful people. People who have no real experience. And all they did was to write a book. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, when I want to learn about success, I want to learn it from somebody who's done it. I want to look at somebody who has accomplished what I want to accomplish. And Jesus is our ultimate model. Next to him, one of the most influential Christians who ever lived would have to be Paul. Paul was a man who lived life to the fullest. As we read, as we already heard in Philippians, Paul explained several keys to successful living, which are as follows. First of all, we have to evaluate our lives. Paul evaluated himself. Successful living starts in admitting that you don't have it all together, that you still have a long way to go and grow, that you haven't arrived yet, that you are not perfect. And on that basis, you do an inventory of your life. And for you to do that, you've got to know where you are before you know where you want to go. And so you start by looking at the areas that need improvement. In Philippians 3 and verse 13, therefore, where Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it," we see Paul was honest about his faults and weaknesses. In fact, in the Good News translation, this verse, I don't claim that I have already succeeded or become perfect. Now, to me, that is an amazing statement, because by this time, Paul was an old man, and if anybody had the right to claim he had arrived, it would have to be Paul. You know, Paul had done quite a lot of things. He had written most of the New Testament. He had played a major part in spreading Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. He made an incredible impact on the world. And yet, at the end of his life, Paul says, "I don't have it all together. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. I am still growing." And so the point here is that successful people never stop growing. While for us, some of us think we have arrived. And it's sad for many Christians today, they think they have arrived. Sometimes when I talk with some Christians, and it's like, "Oh, I don't want to go to church. You know, I think I can manage on my own." We can't manage on our own. You know? Even me as a pastor, I can't manage on my own. That's why I need others. You know? And the Bible tells us, when you think you stand, then watch out. Some of us use an excuse of COVID not to come to church. "Oh, I can't go to church anymore." Unless you are not well, unless you are homebound, and I understand that. In our church, we have a number of people who are homebound. We understand that. People have different circumstances, and that is understandable. So long as you communicate with the brethren and say, "Brethren, I can't come to church because of ABCD," that's understandable. Because you may not be in church, but you are in church. If you're in communication with the leadership and the other brethren, they know where you are. You are still in church. Some people are watching this and they are not here, but they are here. So we understand that. But if you're not in church and you're not communicating, people don't know where you are, so that means you're lost. Am I communicating with you? We can be one in the Spirit if you really love God. You see, the enemy is cunning. He uses every opportunity to separate you from the fellowship. And if you are separated, then you know he's got you. Don't allow yourself to be separated. In whose hands have you entrusted your life? Entrust your life to Him who is faithful to keep it. Don't allow any limitations. Don't allow your own inadequacies. Allow God to enable you. You are an overcomer. The Bible says we are an overcomer. He's fought the fight already for us. And we are to walk in that victory. Some of us, the Bible tells us all these victories that He has already won for us, but we're still walking as defeated people. He tells us that we are victorious, and we say to ourselves, oh no, we are defeated. The Bible tells us we are children of God, and we say, oh, we are orphans. Walk in the victory. We are winners in Christ Jesus. Entrust your life unto Him. Now, a lot of people are miserable, trying to be something they are not. Don't be afraid to admit your weaknesses. I tell people, for me as a pastor, when I admit that I have made a mess, it doesn't make me a less pastor. You know, when I admit to somebody that I've made something wrong and they pray for me, it doesn't make me a lesser pastor. You know, when you say, forgive me, brother, pray for me, you know, there's nothing that drops off. In fact, it makes you stronger. It makes you more respectable. You know, have you ever seen a person that always, it's only you who goes to ask for forgiveness, but they never ask for any forgiveness? It scares me. We are only human beings, and we make mistakes. Sometimes you have to choose and ask yourself, do I want to look good or do I want to be good? And that's a question each one of us, we have to ask ourselves. Do I want to look good or do I want to be good? Because most of us, we want to look good, but we don't want to be good. In whose hands have you entrusted your life? This year, make a deliberate choice to entrust your life to Him who is able to keep it, to Him who is faithful, to Him whose promises are yea and amen. Success involves learning to forget. Success involves learning to forget the former things. Isaiah 43 and verse 18 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now, how do you forget the past? Because our brains store everything we do. Now, the word here for forget is zakah. And it means remember not. It does not mean that you no longer remember. It just means that you choose not to dwell on it or let it have power over you. And so you can move on. And this, friends, is true of God. God is not forgetful, but He chooses not to remember our sins. And therefore, there are two things you need to forget if you are going to follow Paul's pattern. And these are the two things that I want to finish with. One, forget your failures. Don't rehearse things in your heart. If you messed things really good before, don't keep on rehearsing them. So long as you have asked for forgiveness, you know in your heart that you messed really good. Every one of us here messed. Even me who is preaching to you, I messed. Even your pastors, they missed. even the person seated next to you, if they are honest before God to tell you what they did before they, after they became Christians, if they are really honest to tell you all the things they have done wrong, next Sunday I can assure you before God, you will not sit next to them. But God is gracious. That's why it's called grace. God has forgiven us, and we are as if we've never sinned. But for you, the devil keeps on reminding you, you remember what you did, you remember what you did. God has forgiven you. Walk over it. Forget about it. You have started afresh. The Bible says that, behold, things have become new. So long as you know, you have repented about it. So don't keep on rehearsing it. Behold, things have become new. So forget your failures. Don't rehearse things that God has so long forgotten. Satan's favorite desire is to paralyze you with the past, to manipulate us with memories. And so do not sit around beating yourself up for mistakes. Everybody here has blown it. We have things we regret. And Paul messed up really good. If there was anybody who could have really beat up himself, was Paul. Paul really did horrible things for Christians. But Paul moved over it. And he did great things for God after that. So don't look back. Continue to serve God. The last thing that I want to finish with is also forget your successes. Don't live on your past success. Just like failure, you can learn from success, but don't live in them. It is easy to rest on your trophies, to base your security on past performance, to think I have got it made. Success tends to make you complacent and fills you with pride. Then you stop growing and learning, and that then leads you to fail. So watch out. Don't live on your failures. Don't rehearse your failures. And don't always go back and think, oh, in our good old days, those days were good. Don't just live on those good old days. Oh, you see, when we were in Egypt, we enjoyed our onions. You know, it's not good old days. This is now. We live in the present. We don't live in the past. We live in the present. In whose hands is your life in? Let's stand together. Friends, as a pastor, I want to ask you this question. You are here today. The question is, in whose hands is your life? I want to challenge you today. You know, as I was asking this question, if your life is in good hands or if your life is not in good hands. This question goes to those who love the Lord and those who do not love the Lord. There are some people here who may not know the Lord. I want to challenge you not to walk outside that door today the same way you've walked into this building. There are some people who love the Lord, but you are not walking right because you have not surrendered your life completely to the Lord. And this day you may want to say, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I want also for you to do that here today, so that this year you may rededicate your life to the Lord. It will be a lovely thing if you can do that and entrust your life into good hands of the Lord. If that prayer can be made for you also, that would be wonderful. And those who want to receive Christ today, it will be a great joy. And I'll pass the mic to the pastors and they can pray for you.
Amen. Thank you very much, Masai. In whose hands are we? And this morning,
thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.